My second reading is in John chapter 8, page 895 in the Pew Bible, page 895, John chapter 8, and reading from verse 51. Jesus is in conversation with the Jews and the leaders, and from verse 51, he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." The Jews said to him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets, yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died, and the prophets who died? Who do you make yourself out to be?" Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. But you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad." So the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. I just want to leave with you an old year, new year message, and my text is John chapter 8 and verse 58. Those words of Jesus that no one else in the history of this world could have said. "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Here we have two men in this verse. We have Abraham and we have Jesus. And the two of them separated by 2,000 years. We read in Exodus chapter 3, which is the background to this verse, where God said to Moses this wonderful name, "I am." Moses lived another 500 years on from Abraham. So Moses is separated from Jesus by 1,500 years. Where we are today, we are separated from Jesus by around 2,000 years. And Jesus is still, "I am." And as we leave soon, 2017, we can look back and see all that has happened, everything that has happened in the world, just absolutely everything that has happened in this year. And 2018 is before us, with all its uncertainty. I want us this morning to get a hold of this name that Jesus used here, "I am." A title for the sermon would be Jehovah Jesus, because that's what this name is, "I am," in its New Testament background. And when you look again at Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, "Then Moses said to God, 'If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them?' God said to Moses, 'I am who I am.'" And it doesn't matter what translation you have in your hand this morning, whether it's ESV, NIV, Authorized Version, New King James, it doesn't matter. All that will be in capital letters. "I am who I am." And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, the Lord, and you can see the Lord there is in four capital letters. The God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. Now, you and I would talk about the Lord. But have you noticed that there are two ways in the Bible that Lord is spelt? There's four capital letters, and then there's Lord with a capital L and small cased O-R-D. Because God is telling us two things about himself. I don't want to get bogged down here, but this is simply a background of why Jesus used this. Whenever you see four capital letters for Lord, that is God declaring that he is self-sufficient, he is independent, his eternity, his sovereignty, and yet he is willing to have intimate fellowship with us through his grace. It is telling us that he needs nothing from us. We need everything from him. As Paul said in Acts 17, verse 28, in him we live and move and have our being. The very breath that we need, our next breath, which we just don't think about, we just take for granted, even that comes from the hand of God. Whenever you have capital L and then small letters O-R-D, we're down on earth now. We're really down to earth because it is describing God as the supreme owner and master of everything. He owns everything. Everything belongs to him. And this name declares his absolute sovereignty or kingship. And we have to think of earthly kings who come and go, but the heavenly king reigns supreme forever. Let me give you a couple of examples of that. Turn to Isaiah chapter 6 in your Bible. It's lovely to hear pages turning over. Isaiah chapter 6. Here was Isaiah's experience. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. See how Lord is spelt? Capital L, small O-R-D. You see, an earthly king had died, Uzziah. But Isaiah saw the king who would never die. He saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. This is the only time in the Bible that this angelic creature is mentioned. Above it stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet. And with two he flew. And one called to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Now look at the way the Lord is spelt. Four capital letters. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. So there's two different spellings of Lord. Because he is telling us that he is the king who will never die. Uzziah has died. One of the longest reigning kings of Judah, over 50 years. But the Lord is the king who will never die. The Lord who will still reign supreme in 2018. Turn to Psalm 2. well-known psalm. Psalm 2. And you'll see in verse 2, the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, four capital letters, and against his anointed. Verse 7, I will tell of the decree, the Lord, four capital letters, said to me, you are my son, today I have begotten you. Verse 11, serve the Lord, four capital letters, with fear, and rejoice with trembling. But look at verse 4. He who sits in the heavens laughs, the Lord, capital L, small O-R-D. The Lord holds them in derision. You see, why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together. It's as if there is a great summit has been called. They will have differences of opinion regarding many things, but when it comes to the Christian faith, it's as if they are united and they don't want anything to do with the Lord. He who sits in the heavens laughs, the Lord, the King. You see, these are earth's passing kings, in contrast to heaven's permanent King. The Lord holds them in derision. When I read those verses and think of all that has gone on the international political scene over the year, I'm not worried about what Donald Trump is going to say or do. I'm not worried about that, about what that wee buddy will do in North Korea, who thinks he owns the place, who holds the world to ransom. Doesn't concern me. Because my I Am sits in the heavens and laughs. He holds them in derision. And there's people who have their eyes on puny man and they're not on the powerful God. So as you leave 2017 and are about to come into 2018, who have your eyes upon? Psalm 8 and verse 1, just a last wee example of this. And they're just side by side here in Psalm 8 and verse 1. O Lord, our Lord. But two different spellings. How majestic is your name in all the earth. Isaiah saw the Lord. He saw the King who would never die nor be replaced. Now with that background, and with those examples, the God who is all sovereign and powerful and mighty, who is omniscient, he knows all things, who is omnipotent, he knows, he is all powerful, who is omnipresent, he is in all places. The Lord Jesus Christ, in his earthly life, not long before he went to the cross, said, before Abraham was, I am. Who could this be but the God that we've been speaking about? He is God manifest in the flesh. As Graham Kendrick captured it so beautifully, meekness and majesty, manhood and deity, in perfect harmony, the man who is God. Two men in this verse, Abraham and Jesus. And one has said, over against Abraham's fleeting span of life, Abraham lived till he was 175 years of age. Yet, where eternity is concerned, it's a fleeting span of life. Jesus places his own timeless present. Another has said he is the eternal Christ, sharing the everlasting life of the Father, the changeless Lord who towers over history, master of time, ruler of the ages, undiminished by the passing of the centuries. To a generation conscious of the brevity of life, and in a culture where time is replacing money as the commodity of highest value, we feel constantly threatened by time's flow. It runs through our fingers and escapes us no matter how frantically we try to fill it and hold it back. But Christ has all time in his hands. And as we rest our lives in him, our fragile, fleeting consciousness finds meaning and permanence. There's a mixture in the congregation this morning. There are those who are Christians. Have you read through your Bible for another year? I finished this morning. Read through the Bible. We'll start tomorrow morning again. I hope it has been another year where I have grown in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I enter 2018 with great confidence and trust in the one who is my Savior. Those of you who are not saved, you come Sunday by Sunday faithfully. I don't know when it comes to sermon time, do you stay switched on or do you switch off? That's to your harm. These are earnest things. You do not know how much longer you have of your life. But oh, to enter a new year. We don't know what 2018 holds, not a day of it. But the Lord knows. I am knows. Jehovah Jesus knows. And there could be something, there could be an experience in 2018 for you that you've never gone through before. And Jesus can be there for you, waiting for you to arrive at that moment to give you more of his grace in order for you to cope with that situation. He is worth putting your trust in. I know what I'm talking about. Before Abraham was, I am. And John's gospel has that lovely feature where Jesus uttered 7 I ams. I'm sure nearly every preacher in the country has preached on the 7 I ams of Christ. But let me look at them like this. As we leave 2017 and are about to enter 2018, let me look upon the 7 I ams of Christ as answers to 7 questions that can be posed. Let me ask you in this last day of the year, are you hungry? I'm not talking about physical hunger, because there's plenty of eating from last Monday until tomorrow, isn't there? So we don't feel hungry that way. But hungry for more of life? What is life about? Are you hungry? Do you have that inward satisfaction that you would love to have? Jehovah Jesus answers that in John 6:35. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. He can satisfy the longings of your heart. As we sing in the hymn, now none but Christ can satisfy. There's none other name for me. There's love, there's life, there's lasting joy. Lord Jesus, found in thee. Are you hungry? Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Let me ask you a second question. Are you in the dark? Jehovah Jesus answers in John 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Are you in the dark? We would use that expression about the unknown. And 2018 is a dark year because we don't know what's just going to happen. We can talk about darkness as sin, the darkness of sin, and we can talk about it as being ignorant. If you're ignorant of something, we use the expression, I'm in the dark. You don't know. And the future is unknown to us. But Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Are you following him today? Will you take the decision to follow him? I love that is mentioned around about now. It was first mentioned by King George VI. He included in his Christmas Day message in 1939 the now famous words, I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown. And he replied, go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be better than light and safer than a known way. And if you're trusting in someone or trusting in something else and you have your own light, it'll be an inferior light. It'll be a light that will eventually peter out. We're talking about him who is the eternal light, him who is the light of the world, him who is the light of eternity, because in eternity there's no need of the sun. The Lamb is the light thereof, we're told. And to leave 2017 and to enter 2018 with your hand in the hand of God, go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. Isaiah 41:13 says, for I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. It is I who say to you, fear not, I am the one who helps you. This gives me great confidence as I leave 2017 to enter 2018, holding the hand of God. Are you hungry? Are you in the dark? Are you outside? Jehovah Jesus says in John chapter 10, verse 9, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. I am the door. A door marks a boundary, doesn't it? That you're either inside or you're outside. And where Jesus is concerned, are you outside him? On this last day of the year, are you still outside of Christ? He is the door to salvation, but you have to pass through the door. You have to go through the door. Are you still outside? If you enter by me, he says, you will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture, and that is an image of security and nurture. The sheep are under the shepherd's care and grow through nourishment by the food he provides. Are you hungry? I am the bread of life. Are you in the dark? I am the light of the world. Are you outside? I am the door. Are you needing a friend? Jehovah Jesus says again in John 10, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And we have that lovely shepherd-sheep imagery in Scripture. We open with Psalm 23, how it has tied in so well with this. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What a lovely shepherd he is. The Lord is, he can be a present shepherd to you. The Lord is my shepherd, he can be a personal shepherd. He can be a providing shepherd. I shall not want. And to carry that into 2018 would be very special indeed. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 11 says, he will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. I love the way the NIV puts that. He will carry them in his bosom. The NIV says he will carry them close to his heart. That's where you are if you're a Christian. That's how you want to leave one year and enter another with all its uncertainty. Being carried by your shepherd close to his heart. Are you hungry? Are you in the dark? Are you outside? Are you needing a friend? Best friend you'll ever have. A friend who will never leave you nor forsake you. Are you dead? Are you spiritually dead still? Are you still not a Christian? Do you need spiritual life? Jehovah Jesus says, chapter 11, verses 25 and 26, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? He put that to Martha. Do you believe this? And she said, yes, Lord, I believe that you're the Christ of God. Because eternal life is only found in Christ. Oh, the world has so many different kinds of religions. But there's a time in chapter 6 of John where it says many of disciples forsook him. And they ceased to follow him. They were just disciples in name. And Jesus said to the 12, will you also go away? And Peter said this great statement, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Oh, what a statement. Jesus alone has the words of eternal life. Muhammad doesn't have them. Buddha doesn't have them. The 330 million gods of Hinduism doesn't have the words of eternal life. Name any religion you want. They don't have the words of eternal life. I am has the words of eternal life. The Lord Jesus Christ. There is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. In the writings of John Blanchard, I've read this, that John estimates, I don't know where he gets this estimation from, but John has said that from Adam and Eve and to now the present history of the world, there has been something like 60 billion of a population that has lived on planet Earth. 60 billion. and neither is there salvation in any one of them. Only in one name under heaven, and that is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The only one who could come out with this statement before Abraham was, I am. Abraham, who lived 2,000 years before him. Are you hungry? Are you in the dark? Are you outside? Are you needing a friend? Are you dead? Christ is the only one that can give you spiritual life, eternal life. In John 14 and verse 6, we could ask three questions here. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me. So let me put it like this. Are you lost? Jesus says, I am the way. Are you confused? Jesus says, I am the truth. Because there's some people take that attitude. Oh, there's so many religions out there. I'm so confused. Who do you believe? You believe Christ. That's who you believe. You believe the Bible. You believe the words of I am. You don't believe anybody else. Are you lost? I am the way. Are you confused? I am the truth. Are you disillusioned? I am the life. Oh, there's so many people look for life in different things, in drink and in drugs and illicit relationships and all different kinds of ways, seeking to find fulfillment and purpose of existence. When it's very simply put here for us, Jesus says, I am the life. Because he said back in John 10 and verse 10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. So the thief will be the drink and the drugs and the sexual immorality and just anything that's not of Christ. And what's the difference between a thief? A thief, I'm isn't coming to give you something. A thief is coming to take something from you. Jesus comes to give you something. He comes to give you life. Abundant life. Fulfillment of life. The joy of life. That's what Jesus does. And the only way that I can put the final I am is this. Are you producing the right stuff in your life? Jesus says in chapter 15 and verse 5 of John, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. You see, we grow in our lives. We sow in our lives. And we will grow what we sow. So how has it been in 2017? What have you sown in your life? Because you'll reap what you sow. You'll reap what you sow. If you have sown good and proper things, then you will know the benefits of that. And other lives may know the benefits of what you have sown and grown in your life. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And God's people are a fruit-bearing people. The Bible talks about the fruit of repentance, the fruit of holiness, the fruit of praise, the fruit of righteousness, the fruit of the gospel. How good have we been at that in 2017? Are we determined to be better in 2018? I conclude with this. before Abraham was, I am. Take Abraham's name out and put your own in. How does it sound? Before Raymond was, I am. Before Stanley was, I am. Before Billy was, I am. Before Doreen was, I am. Sorry, I can't go around y'all. I don't know y'all. But do you get it? It doesn't matter what human name you put in the history of this world, whether they've been famous or infamous, there will be a was after their name. There'll be a was. It's that little word that's used if someone has died and we talk about them in the past tense. Was. Oh, he was a lovely fella. She was. We just use that in the past tense. Abraham had lived in the distant past when Jesus said these words. And it doesn't matter what mark a person has made on this world for good or ill. There's going to be a was. As Ecclesiastes 1 and verse 4 says, generations come and generations go. Think of the millions of people in that statement. All covered with this little three-lettered word, was. But there's no was in Jesus, because he is ever present. I am. And he is the one to trust in. He is the one to put your hand of faith in as you enter 2018 with all its uncertainty. It's not uncertain to him. He knows. He knows. He is here for you today. And I leave with another quote. Are believers weary? It's as if he is saying, I am their strength. Poor, I am their riches. Troubled, I am their comfort. Sick, I am their health. Dying, I am their life. I am justice and mercy. I am grace and goodness. I am glory, beauty, holiness, perfection, all sufficient through eternity. Before Abraham was, put your own name in, I am. He is here for you. He has been here every day of 2017. Days when maybe your mind has been on other things, but he was there for you. And he will be each day of 2018. Before Abraham was, I am. He was I am in Exodus chapter 3. 1,500 years later, he was still I am. 2,000 years on from John chapter 8 to 2017 into 2018, he's still I am. What a wonderful Savior. May the Lord bless his word to your hearts.